I'd like to recommend the book to you, the Word of God. Go through it and find the Father's will. It is just loaded. In fact, I'm restraining myself this morning to not keep bringing out verses that are the Father's will that we can pray for our lives. I'll give you one more. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth all men liberally. Lord, I'd like to have some wisdom. I don't know how much you'll let me have, but please, I need some wisdom. No. Lord, I need wisdom. Would you pour it on my life? I need your wisdom, Lord. Heavenly wisdom. I don't have the answers, Lord. I need to know your heart, O God. It's just the Bible telling us. It's full of them. I encourage you to go find them and pray them. Actually, number five is another one like that. Lord, feed me. Lord, feed me. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't know what happens in your life. But does the Word of God at times just become very dry? Maybe it is dry right now. Jesus is telling us here that we need to pray that God would this day give us our daily bread like He did the children of Israel when they were going through the wilderness. The manna would fall out of heaven every day. And it kept falling out of heaven every day. And it was nourishment for their bodies. We need manna to fall out of heaven every day. Nourishment for our souls. That's what we need every day. And He's telling us here, we need to pray about that. We need to ask God that He would feed us daily. Lord, feed my soul today. Enduring, lowly soldiers, warriors for Jesus, begging the Father for nourishment. Lord, feed my soul today. I need something to inspire my heart. Let your grace fall afresh upon my heart. And we open up the Word and reread. And it can be just a rich treasure coming out of our lives. Lord, feed me. Give me daily manna. Number 6, in verse 12, forgiven as I forgive, forgiven as I forgive, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. There's two things I'd like to look at here. One of them is, He is drawing attention to the fact that we need to be forgiven. Something that often happens is we, in a meeting like this, we clear our hearts. We get an open heaven. Life is clear and our hearts are clean. And oh, it's so sweet, right? What a sweet place to be. And we say, oh, if I could just live here all the rest of my life, be such a blessing. My friend, Jesus is saying, when He teaches us to pray, that we need to come to Him on a regular basis and ask Him to forgive us and keep our hearts clean. Keep our hearts clean. Keep our hearts pure. I'd like to read you a couple verses in Ephesians chapter 4. Fairly familiar again. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Would you allow me this morning to say, let not the sun go down upon your sin. Let not the sun go down upon your sin. Keep your heart clear is what He's saying. Let's not go home and let's start the clutter building up in our hearts and lives again. It'll be all mucky after a while. But keep it clean. Keep it pure. Let Jesus keep scrubbing it. Keep washing it. The next verse says, neither give place to the devil. When we allow sin to be in our life, when we allow ungodliness and unrighteousness to creep into our lives, we are giving place to the devil. And he loves it. He says here, don't make any room for the devil. He is our adversary. We don't let him in. But if there's sin in our life, it's like he has property in our lives, wherever that sin is. Make no room for him. Secondly, forgiven as we forgive. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We cannot have bitterness, anger, envy, judgment towards others, hatred, emulations, evil speaking. We cannot have those kind of things in our hearts and expect to come before God and have Him clean our hearts. He says it doesn't work that way. If we're holding grudges against somebody else, God says we'll just stop right there. Whenever you're ready to forgive, I'll forgive. That's what He says. And He said it right here in the Lord's Prayer. And my friend, if you're holding something against someone, bitter envy and strife and the like, please dump it out to Jesus. Forgive. And you need to repent of having had it. And heaven will open up. Heaven will open up. Number 7, I believe is an important one. Deliver me out of temptation. Verse 13 says, Lord, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many times do we go through life and we learn to live a pure life, a godly life, a holy life, and all of a sudden, before we know it, we've fallen into sin somewhere and got snared and trapped. And now we're back to groaning. Lord, oh, need to clear our hearts again. You know, it's amazing what's all in this prayer, but Jesus knew that. And He said, we need to pray regularly that God would deliver us out of temptation. That Jesus would deliver us out of temptation. He knows they're coming. He can see them. Sometimes they're just sneaky, hidden away traps, no warning signs around, and all of a sudden, right there it is. We need to pray that He would show us, that He would deliver us out of temptation. Lord, give me discernment. Give me discernment. Reveal to me those hidden snares, the temptations of the devil that He's bringing to me. Before I get caught. Show me, Lord. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. A life that is walking with the Lord that can discern temptation before you get caught. Ah, that's a blessed life. That's a victorious life. And He says, pray this prayer. It's an important prayer to pray. All right, number 8. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, You're the eternal, almighty King. Here we are in the presence of the Father. Hallowed be Your name. And at the end of this prayer, He comes back to the eternal, almighty King, in whose presence we are when we pray and connect with heaven as a lowly widow with the endurance of a soldier, enduring prayer warriors. We need to be there in humility. We need to be there as joint heirs in the kingdom too. Joint heirs in the kingdom. He wants His power to be working in our lives. And if we're touching the very throne of God, if we're touching the very heart of God, and have His Spirit connecting our heart and flowing into our being, my young person, there are things that happen in our lives when that happens. When we know that we connected with God, we become joint heirs with Him, there is something that happens in our hearts and lives. There's something that happens. There's a deep moving within. There's a strength within that we don't have of ourselves. And we need that connection as sons of the Father, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we're joining into His kingdom, into His power and glory forever. Amen. Now in light of that, I'd like to take a look at another scripture here, number 9, intercession. Intercession, and I'm going to pull that out of another scripture without going into the rest of the other scripture, which we're going to just need to leave. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Intercession. Here we are before the holy God of heaven. Here we are in the presence, in the holy presence of God, begging God that His will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. Feed me, Lord. Purge me. Cleanse me. Deliver me out of temptation. Joining in with the power of this kingdom of God. And now here's a burden that God wants to lay on our hearts for a soul that is lost. And oh, to let God, by His Spirit, come right into our being and move within us with deep yearnings and longings and cryings out to God for a soul. Unto tears of crying. The Bible tells us if we sow in tears, we shall come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. And oh, for a burden to consume us. To the point that the words just come flowing out of our mouth and we can't even be quiet anymore. And I find it's those kind of prayers that God answers. God answers them. And if we can be before the throne of God as available vessels, for Him to use, He'll take a burden over here that's on His heart. That I have not connected with, and He'll take it and drop it right on my heart and say, brother, would you pray about this one? God will do that if we're available to Him. He's looking for intercessors that will connect with His throne, that are there on a regular basis, that He knows He can communicate with. Then He starts laying those burdens on their hearts. Young person, there's nothing more fulfilling than praying prayers like that and then watching God answer them. Watching God answer them might have nothing to do with the answer. At times we might. Other times we'll have nothing to do with the answer. But God needed somebody to stand in the gap. God needed somebody to be the mediator. God needed somebody to be the go-betweener. God needed somebody to beg Him for favor for a soul. God is looking for intercessors. But we need to have a regular, continual prayer life, a secret place, a feeding place, victorious life, free from sin. Living in the very presence and power of the kingdom of God. And you know, it's all available. It's all available. It's a matter of applying ourselves to it. Number 10, I'd like to look at another one that wasn't in this text. Fasting. Fasting. You know, often we say, what can I do? Maybe I'm just a lowly widow. I'd like to read you a few verses in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of... I must be missing someone here. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here's another widow that was continuing and enduring and persevering in fastings and prayers. And when Jesus came to this earth, most of the Jews missed Him, even in His ministry. But here's an old lady that recognized Him as a baby. That's a traumatic difference. She recognized Him as a baby. Why did she recognize Him as a baby? And others that were supposed to be supposedly spiritual people could not even recognize Him when He was in the flower of His ministry. She served God day and night with fastings and prayer. She was close to the Father. She was in connection with heaven. And we can have the same thing. The disciples of John came and asked Jesus, you know, why do we fast and the Pharisees fast and your disciples don't fast? And His answer was, after I'm gone, they will fast. They will fast. The next question is, do we fast? Do we fast? Young people, I'd like to just, somehow if I could get you to see and comprehend this truth along with prayer. And set that standard in your youth. It'll bless the rest of your life. Endure hardness as a soldier. Do we fast? You know, we have so much food in America. Food's everywhere. Even here at Bible school. There's so much food around here. Now, none of us is out there just laboring. But how much do we eat? I'd like to plead with you a little bit this morning. How much do we eat? How serious are we before God? And I'm not here this morning to put you on a guilt trip. I'm not here this morning to get you to look like skin and bones. But how much do we eat? How much do I like to satisfy my body and its appetites? How much do I like that? Why do we fast? Why do we fast? I'd like to just read several verses in Isaiah 58. And I would encourage you to take a look at the whole chapter. We don't have time to do that this morning. But you look at the whole chapter. Isaiah 58, verse 6. This then is the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break the heavy yoke, every yoke. Is it not to deal bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that thou cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? It's to break the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and it's to take what I have and give it to those that need, and I do without. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. For the benefit of others. sacrifice for the benefit of others. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Blessing and blessing and blessing. Verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Oh, what a beautiful place to live. If thou take away from the midst of thee thy yoke and the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. I'd like to read another one. Mark chapter 9, verse 28. This is at the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're coming back down, and they were trying to cast out this evil spirit, and they couldn't. But Jesus did. But the disciples couldn't. And afterwards, when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out, this evil spirit? They've cast others out, but this one they couldn't. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And what he's saying here is, when we pray and fast, there's an authority that God puts on our lives that is more effective and more far-reaching. If we're willing to pray and fast, seeking the face of God, God will put an authority, a spiritual authority upon our lives, not in arrogance, still like the lowly widow, but our adversary, the devil, will tremble. There's one that God is using. There's one that God can use. They knew who Paul was. Remember that? You wonder why? Because he had spiritual authority. And God wants us to have spiritual authority. And young person, if you could spend a life praying and fasting and seeking the face of God and let that spiritual authority build in your life from the days of your youth, oh, the riches of the blessings that God can pour in your life and use you for His kingdom, which He is looking for and longing for. There is a spiritual authority in humbly fasting and praying. But often we're too timid. We're too soft. We're too timid. We're too soft. I'd like to read yet 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 through 27. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The word temperate means to exercise self-restraint. Now if we were going to run a race, and we're going to run a 5-mile race, and we're all going to run, and we're determined to win, how are we going to prepare for that? Dump down a whole bunch of Mountain Dew and eat a bunch of chips. I mean, we're just going to really fill her up and then expect to go out there and perform. No. Someone that's going to effectively run restrains themselves. Restrains themselves. And I'm not against sodas and chips in moderation. But my friend, I will tell you, if you fill up with junk food all the time, we'll live like a junkie. Because it isn't good for us. It makes us feel blah. And God needs soldiers that are ready to go. They're vigorous. And they're sensitive to His every word instead of sluggish. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not this uncertainly, but I run. I'm going to run. I'm pressing into this thing. I'm going to go for it. So fight I. I don't just sit back and become a pushover. I'm going to fight in the name of Jesus. Like a lowly widow with the heart of a soldier. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that just aimlessly beats at the air, wondering where I'm going. Paul says, I don't fight that way. I don't fight that way. But I keep under my body. I keep under my body. I give this body direction what it's going to do. And when it's time to fast, I'm going to tell this body, no food. No way. And my friend, if you're struggling with that sin that you can't overcome, I'd encourage you, try fasting and start ordering your body around as to what it will do and won't do. Bring it under subjection. And it's amazing what happens in the area of overcoming that sin. All of a sudden, this body is getting used to receiving orders. No, you're not doing it. Yes, you will do this. We need to bring under our body. It's time to pray. I want to sleep. Body, it's time to pray. We need to bring under our body and bring it into subjection. We shall not serve the flesh. The flesh is enmity with the Spirit of God. The flesh is the enemy of God. And it fights against the Spirit. Therefore, we bring our body under and bring it into subjection. And when we're subjected like that to God and to the Spirit of God, God can use us way beyond our imagination. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, oh Father, cause us to grasp the truth of praying, of walking with you, bringing our body under subjection and seeking your face. Lord, we long to carry those burdens on your heart, which are many, and be fruitful for you. Would you show us, teach us one step at a time how to effectively do that. Lord, bless each one of these dear young people and give them grace to take these truths and make it a part of their life. Thank you again for the blood and for salvation, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Turning time over to Brother Paul.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.